Judges chapter 10, we'll be reading verses 1 through 5. 1 through 5. Well, this is the word of the living God. It is without error, it is perfect. And so hear it now as his word. Now after Abimelech died, Tola, the son of Puah, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar, arose to save Israel. And he lived in Shamir in the hill country of Ephraim. He judged Israel 23 years, then he died and was buried in Shamir. And after him, Jair the Gileadite arose and judged Israel 22 years. He had 30 sons who rode on 30 donkeys, and they had 30 cities in the land of Gilead that are called Havoth Jair to this day. And Jair died and was buried in Kamon. Well, that is the word of God this evening as we read. And now here, may he bless us as we hear the expounding upon it. We think of the judges of the Old Testament. You typically think of Gideon and Samson. You don't remember these probably. If you do, you don't. They're not your favorite Bible characters, if we were going to put it like that, or you wouldn't name your children after these men, probably. But these are judges, nonetheless. They are important because they are judges, and they serve the exact same purpose as all the other judges in the book of Judges. Sometimes you might think, since we have the minor prophets, Habakkuk and all those other small books that you don't think of. But when you say the prophets, you think Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. And you kind of, the minor prophets, there are 12 of them. And it's kind of like that. Whereas those minor prophets are very important to God's people, these minor judges are important for God's people because they are used as instruments by God to deliver Israel from their physical enemies or from physical destruction. And they point forward to a greater deliverer, that is Jesus Christ, who delivers us from all evil and sin. We can look first at Tola. He is the son of Puah, son of Dodo. He is from the tribe of Issachar, and he lived in Shamir in the hill country of Ephraim. With him, we see the Lord's goodness to Israel in verse 1. There are not very many details, but there are very few details, and there are some here. After Abimelech died, it says, the Lord rose up this judge, Tola, to save and deliver Israel. How did he deliver Israel? We don't know. The text doesn't say. But Tola's work is described as being after Abimelech died. After the destroyer of Israel had done his worst and the chaos was that he caused after the treacherous killing of his brothers and Gideon's family. And perhaps here we are to be reminded of here that this is typical of how the Lord works. He does not allow his people to be trampled forever, but nor a great evil to continue forever, though it might seem like it at the very time it's happening. Like this is going on for years and years. Rather, it's the Lord's way to bring his people into the shadow of death and then bring them out of it to show them his goodness. To anoint then after bringing them out of the shadow of death, out of the valley of the shadow of death, thinking of Psalm 23, and anoint their heads with oil. And after sorrow and grief to bring joy and gladness. And so the Lord is so gracious that he'll never allow Abimelech to be the last word to his people. And in our lives, he's not going to allow those evil destruction and physical circumstances wherein to be the last word, right? We think forward of what awaits us. And then we have the second judge, Jair. He judged for 22 years. He was from Gilead. He had the description that we have of him is that he had 30 sons who rode on 30 donkeys and had 30 cities of land within Gilead. Tola shows us the Lord's goodness to his people. Perhaps Jair shows us God's goodness to those who are undeserving of his goodness. So God's grace, in other words. We see here man's tendency. The only real detail about it is the 30 sons who were on 30 donkeys who had influence in 30 cities. The 30 sons. Having numerous children is a blessing from the Lord. And yet, having 30 sons suggests that Jair had multiple wives. Now here we don't see any displeasure from the Lord like we did with Gideon, but Gideon is our context. We're just a couple chapters after that, and there it gave the explanation about Gideon that he had many wives, to show in some sense the displeasure of the Lord to him. And because he had many wives, he had many sons, and one of those sons was Abimelech, and great evil came upon the people of Israel. And so here the mention of 30 sons already has a negative connotation to it because of that context of Gideon. But there's no need to, in some sense, resent Jair. Because of that, he obviously had success, influence. He was used by God to deliver Israel from their enemies or from destruction, whatever it was. Nonetheless, we understand him because we're like him. We are the people who are God's children, are used by God, and yet we are sinners, just as Jair is shown to be here. And so here we are to be, even though we are tempted to, perhaps like Jair and his sons, to further secure those many cities and to have perhaps a better position and influence or guarantee recognition, because here he's given recognition for having those many sons and those donkeys in the cities. Be warned here, because what happened in the Garden of Eden has not left us. Did not leave Jair. We seldom enjoy being servants. We long to be often to unseat the king, Jesus. We're still in sin, and yet we have a great God who is constantly showing his goodness and, in this case, his grace to his people. Now, that's perhaps what we learn here in the first five verses in these two minor judges. Let's pray. Our Father, we do praise you for your goodness to us. Each day your mercies are new every morning. You are the God who is altogether, infinitely and eternally and unchangeably good. And we thank you for giving us your word. You've given us, you've provided all things for us, shelter, food, family, our congregation here, where we can worship together. You've provided in your goodness salvation, by your grace even. We praise you for your grace and saving us, though we did not deserve it, obviously. We deserve judgment. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the goodness and the grace that you show to us in him, and by your Spirit, and changing our hearts to love you and follow after you. And Father, we know that we could not do anything good, apart from you, apart from your Spirit, and yet you have shown your goodness to us in that. You've shown us favor where we did not deserve it. Though we are in sin and we've broken all the commandments of God, yet you continue to love us, continue to show us your favor. It's very confusing perhaps to us why you would ever do so. And yet you're the God who is undeniably faithful to your people. Faithful to those who you've given your promise to and who have received it by faith. You giving, as we've learned in Ephesians, you've given that gift of faith to us and grace to us, that we would not boast in ourselves, but we would boast in you. And so we do boast in you and give praise to your holy name. And we do ask also, as perhaps some may have learned this morning, we pray that you would be good to your people. And you would be good to John and his family, particularly his mother, who is still living in Sudan, in the northern part of the southern Sudan, where there's been battles of late. And so we pray that, if it be your will, that you would get her out of there by the help of John's brother. We pray that you would enable his mother to get out of there, if that be your will. And if she does not know you, and his brother does not know you, we pray that you would cause salvation to be given to them, and that great gift of grace, as we learn about here, to them. For we've seen it in John, and we pray that you would give it also to the rest of his family. And Father, we do ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.